I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 479's After Show.
WT Force brings up a good point that we just briefly talked about. Almost 10 years. I wonder if they'll do a 10-year anniversary disc. Now, the question is, do you do a 10-year anniversary on the podcast, or do you do a 10-year anniversary on the Patreon? Because we didn't start Patreon until like late 2017, 2018-ish. So that's, it would be 10 years of discs or 10 years of podcast.
I say F it, you do both.
You do both!
So we'll do a 10-year anniversary podcast disc. And then once we get to 10 years, if there's any one patron that's been a patron for 10 years...
I'm sure there will be. We have some loyal... patrons.
Then they are getting an extra special disc, and I am
Jim Van Lannen did that for us. Remember that? You and I both have the 5-year.
Did they do it at 5 or was it 10 the first time?
I think it was 5 the first time. Maybe it was 10. I'd have to look. It's been a thing. But we got a disc with our names on it, and then there was a 10-year. Was the 10-year the beer bottle with our name on it?
I don't recall. That sounds maybe right.
I think that sounds right. And I don't remember what 15 was. But
yeah, and what Johnny's talking about is Manitowoc in the Park, which kind of evolved into being
Silver
Creek Open, Silver Cup, those varying names throughout the years. It started in 2000, and at the 5-year mark, he had pulled from every player that had attended all 5 years. And there were, I want to say, 30 of us, roughly.
Yeah, about that.
That had attended all 5 years. 10 years, it was down to like probably, I think, 10 or 15 of us that had attended all 10 years, Johnny V and I both being in that.
I think I made it 14 is what I think I made.
I think we ended our streak. We didn't make it to the next one. We ended our streak because that was the first year of the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
We were covering it live.
We were covering it live and then couldn't play. And I feel like if there's a fitting way to end a streak of attending a tournament... because you're covering it live and we're at the time doing some semi-revolutionary stuff. I will take that. That's kind of how I feel about, I attended here in Wisconsin. We have what was called the Real Ice Bowl, and it had started, and my very first one was in 96 when I was in high school. And that was my first one. It was the 8th at the time. I played in it, I think for, until 2000, I want to say 24 years, 25 years, whatever it was. And I ended it by going to Samui for my first time. So if you're going to end like a 20 plus year streak of playing in a particular event,
make it worthwhile.
Going to Thailand for my first time was worth it. Similarly, I ended 20 consecutive years of playing in Worlds to broadcast Worlds in 2016.
Yeah.
In Emporia. I played 20 consecutive Worlds, 4 AM Worlds, and then 16.
I remember that
Worlds.
Was tough for you.
And it really was the idea. And thank God by that time I had accepted the fact that I certainly was not in any threat of even really cashing. So that made it a little easier. But to end a 20-year streak.
A lot of pros were like, "Woo! Thank God, Terry." Yes, yes. Man, scary.
The guy in 83rd was like, "Hell yeah, 82nd, no, here I come.
The guy who just didn't make the B pool to the A pool, yeah. He was like, "Thank you, Terry Miller."
Yeah, so it made it easier at that point, yes. But ending a 20-year streak. And at that time, I may have had, outside of Greenwell, I may have had one of the longest streaks in disc golf.
Greenwell and Avery, and probably. Avery,
yeah. And I think I even had Avery because he had his first Worlds, I want to say, was in 97.
Oh, because he started after you.
Yeah. So at that time. So,
God.
At any rate, yeah, I know this dates us and this means we're old and all that other stuff. But, thing is, some of that stuff only matters to me. Right, like some of those streaks and whatnot, I thought of them as a really big deal, and they were to me, but they're not to anyone else, and that's okay.
It's not like you've hit every single world,
correct?
Like at that point, then maybe it would have been something a little different. Quadzilla asks the question: what are your thoughts on the NADGT winner going AM for yet another season? I think that's a personal decision. And I personally don't have a problem with it. I think it depends a lot on what your goals in the sport are. If your goals are to become a pro disc golfer, then I would question it. I would say, you're probably better off if you've won NADGT and your goal is to be a professional touring golfer, get in that pro division and start winning. If your goal maybe is to be a regional pro and you still maybe want to win a world, maybe you went, you know, maybe this was your first big AM win. I'm not here to judge somebody else's decision unless I feel like it should be judged. And then I'll totally do it, but okay. Not for this one. So I don't really mind either way.
I'll say specifically as I look at Corbin, because I do not know Corbin personally. I see
him and I are tight.
He has declined cash at every event he had potentially cashed in. During the year, and it looks like there was a number of them that he would have cashed in. He had won somewhere in the neighborhood of like five or six.
You're assuming this is Corbin and not.
Well, he won the NADGT, so
I'm assuming you're not talking FPL. But
Rebecca, I don't think has been nearly as dominant per se as what Corbin has been, and so I'm looking at. I mean, Corbin won the Glassblown Open. Took fourth at Worlds, AM Worlds, then won a couple of A-tiers in three A-tiers to be, or two A-tiers in September, won a couple of other B-tiers throughout the year, all in advance.
If that were my resume, I would be moving to Open. But Corbin might have a different path.
Here's what I would say to that, and again, this is just a snapshot judgment, not knowing Corbin or having conversation with him. My only quick judgment would be you sometimes would stay in an AM division or a lower division because you want to learn how to win and you want to learn how to play under those pressures. I feel as if he's accomplished that. He knows he has done a lot of winning in the last 2 or 3 years. He's a relatively, let's check what year. He's joined the PDGA in 2020. And since then, between 2021, which was a flex start, and this year, he has put together 19 wins, a lot of them being last year and this year is A-tiers and B-tiers. It feels as if he knows how to win under some pressure and then goes on to win one of the biggest events of the year. Again, I agree with you, Johnny. Do whatever you want. But it feels as if his skills are definitely threatening enough. I just don't know what else he has to gain by playing advanced anymore.
Correct. So they're taking that money.
That's my point is, yeah. What else are you gaining by continuing to play?
Spend a year being a decent regional pro and then maybe make that effort to push into the pro tour or something like that.
So whatever the case might be, again, I'm just using him as an example because he did win this weekend and I see that he's got a 992 rating and he's played in 90 events. He's won 19 of them in a very short career. To me, it feels like he has the skills to take that next.
And I don't think that, projecting why someone might stay in amateur, maybe to win Worlds, Am Worlds or something. I don't feel like that is going to bolster your resume much more than winning the NADGT at this point. Now, yeah. I do think that Am Worlds probably stands a little bit above NADGT still in my mind. But I'm not an amateur player. I don't know what the amateur... Well, I guess I'm technically an amateur player.
You play one on TV.
I play one. Not just on TV, my friend. On the course, too. I don't know what the amateur players think these days of NADGT versus Worlds. I'm not in that position to make that call. If NADGT is a more prestigious, maybe the wrong word, a more significant event, then maybe it's time for pro. But if you have your heart set on it, or maybe there's a different reason behind it, again, I'm not going to ask any questions other than to Terry Miller. Terry Miller, I heard you bought the island of Samui.
If
true
only.
Or false?
Close.
True or false?
Close. That would be false.
Okay. All right, then we'll move on. No, you had a big announcement. You teased it last week.
Yep.
I was going to ask you after the show last week to spill the beans to me privately, and I forgot.
Mm.
Totally forgot until you started making the pre-tease today about going live. And then I tuned in to find out that you have now purchased Samui Disc Golf.
Yes.
Explain to us and our viewers and our listeners exactly what that means. What is that purchase of Samui Disc Golf?
Yeah, what I'll start with real quick is that Nigel Mills and his family had moved on to the island of Samui, and Ko, in my understanding, Ko is the Thai word for island. So you don't say the island of Ko Samui because it feels like you're saying island twice. I only learned that not too long ago. So, but anyway, onto the island of Samui, otherwise known as Ko Samui, which is funny because some spell it K-O-H and then some spell it K-O. Either way. They had moved there, started disc golf. Nigel found disc golf. It was shortly thereafter that Luke Butch, who's originally from New York, here in the States, not some other New York, Luke Butch at some point had also moved to Thailand. Of course, they didn't know each other at the time. And Nigel worked with his neighbors and worked to develop Samui Disc Golf, which is on the north side of Samui. And it's an island. There is disc golf that's played on the south side of Samui. Another gentleman runs that's in charge of it. And Nigel has been working on the north side in Mae Nam. So when you see that spelled out, Mae Nam is the, for lack of a better term, it's like a township, so to speak. And that's all on the north side. And after having this for many years and then developing the Samui Swine as an event, and then running other smaller events, running a regular league, a weekly league, maybe even two leagues at a time during some of these times. I believe there's maybe a Wednesday league and a Saturday league for a while. Doing all of these things, eventually getting some top-level professionals there to come and visit and play in various formats and play in the event. And then having me come in 2019 for my first time, then coming back in 2020, and then coming back in 2022. After all these years of being on the island, Nigel and his three daughters, along with his wife, Sam, and his mother-in-law, have all decided that they're moving onto the mainland of Thailand. And it's kind of in the northern part of the mainland, which is in Chiang Mai, conveniently and coincidentally. I associated myself with Chiang Mai and their disc golf scene just last year. So this really provides a little extra insight for me personally. But they're moving. They have moved. they're packing up, they've packed up their entire life, their business, everything about them, and have moved to Chiang Mai. That left the Samui disc golf course behind, which essentially involves the property in which they have the course on, and then a few neighboring properties. Neighboring properties that they have a great relationship with and have had for many, many years. And you've seen different holes that actually sprawl onto a few of the neighboring yards. When Nigel was getting ready to move and getting on a plane, boat, all this other stuff to move, he wasn't able to take the disc golf course with him.
You can't just pack those baskets up.
You can't just pack those up. And at that point, it was a little uncertain as to how Samui Disc Golf would continue to move forward. Having a conversation with Nigel, having a conversation with Luke, who was going to stay there primarily right there on the island, it worked out in that I would step in and I would become owner of essentially, like, I'll say the brand and then all the physical assets that are there, which has now blossomed into 16-ish baskets. There's 11 baskets that are in play that are mounted, and then also a handful of portable baskets that get used as practice baskets. There's tables, there's chairs, there's canopies, there's really nice tee pads that have only been developed in the last couple of years that were framed up and carpeted and everything else. Those were just installed a few years ago. Any other assets that were there on site, including some refrigeration, some other stuff. Nigel has run Nigel's barbecue and catering service there out of that same location for the last decade or so. And so he had a pretty expansive kitchen because he was catering to sometimes hundreds of people. The catering business will no longer be there as Nigel's not. So we're essentially taking that same space that was largely used as a kitchen and turning that into a, as expansive as we can, a pro shop. And that will be outfitted with different manufacturers, so on and so forth, and really creating it as a souvenir shop, a disc golf souvenir slash pro shop, not only just for the locals, but then, of course, when people come there, getting a souvenir or getting a disc or whatever with the branding is just a must get. So that's what it essentially means. I will reiterate for, you know, just to be 100% crystal clear, as an expat or as a non-Thai national, I cannot own land or property.
I don't think you're an expat. I don't think you can use that.
I think I'm considered an expat.
I was under the concept of expat is someone who has actually moved away from the country, not just that goes and visits.
A person who lives outside their native country.
Okay, so you're not an expat because you do live here, but leaves their
country of origin and settles abroad.
But you visit
for an extended period of time, often permanently.
You are not an expat.
Okay, so as a non-Thai,
correct. But you're
national you're or as an expat. I
just want to correct
you. You cannot own land, which is in so many ways beautiful. Like, otherwise people would be coming onto these places and these islands
and just buying up the land,
buying up every inch of it,
turning it into a vacationville.
Yeah. So, you have to live there you have to be married, I believe. And then even then, I'm not sure that things are in your name. And Luke's out on the board now. That's great to see. I think even if I married someone from Thailand, I believe
it's not in your name.
It's still not in my name.
Okay.
I believe is how that works. Anyway, so that's the long and short of it. We're going to continue to expand. Luke has already taken it upon himself to develop and work to implement foot golf onto the property as well. Obviously, we've seen that go through, its stages of popularity, but for the implementation that it took.
And is this a pay-to-play course?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. It is pay-to-play. Just bring a couple hundred baht and you're good to go. Funny, I should know this. I want to say is it 200, Luke? Is it 200 baht to play, which is about $6.60 US dollar, is I think what it is to play. I should probably get up on the numbers.
Is that a lot for a local?
For a local, And there's local pricing and okay. and memberships and so on and so forth. For a straight up,
I know it's $6 is to us, but $200 to them might be different based on.
Yeah, it's certainly depending on your financial situation. There, it could be a lot. It okay. could be. Of course, there's special provisions and things that are taken into account. Sure. And I know, for instance, right now we're Luke's running it so that is it for the whole month? Anyone that lives in Thailand that is a Thai national can come play for free and just completely wide open if you're from there. So Luke's giving some more information on the board that I should have at my fingertips. It's 300 baht, which is about 850 per day. Kids are half price. Otherwise, $30 a month or $90 a year, and 300 baht is the one-time price, mostly for tourists. So, again, most of the people that are traveling there, especially stumbling upon disc golf, the 300 baht is not of major significance to mm-hmm. put forth.
Okay.
So that's what's taking place there. Luke, you guys are hearing me say it here and now, like there's agreements and provisions and everything else, but at the end of the day, a whole lot of love and trust in Luke Butch over there in Thailand. So don't F things up. No, there's just a whole lot of love and trust in what Luke has been doing throughout the last decade, and then also how we're going to continue to push things forward, moving forward. And well, I said it earlier, Luke's kind of an old school guy like you and I, has been around for quite some time, knows a lot of the old school players' mentality, and then also, you know, takes in the game and still keeps up to date with what's going on around the country and around the world. But, you know, kind of has some of those deep-rooted old school.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you, Terry. I'm glad that this is a new venture for you, something out of your normal comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I'll be totally honest that I'm not going to be clearly hands-on day-to-day. There's only so much I'm going to be doing. I think they're exactly 12 hours away in terms of time zones. And
so your normal time is their day. Like that's
some of that does work out. Some of the communication can work out. But hopefully what this means, though, is I can also continue to shine more light, not only just on this specific course that we're part of, but just all of the entire Southeast Asia region and what others have been doing in Singapore and Malaysia and all of these other surrounding countries. You know, we talked about Owen Scoggins, who was visiting in Laos last year, not too far from coming over to be part of the overall Southeast Asia tour, if that's something that interested her as someone who might be going that area anyway. There's just so many opportunities. And the fact that I've had the honor of then also being in Taiwan for the Asia Open a number of years ago and some of these other events, just that entire area, I'm here for it. And I want to do whatever I can. One of the really cool things that that Luke's been already working on that we want to continue is either used or new, getting discs over there that we're just handing to the schools and
sure.
getting disc golf introduced to the schools and to school age children. Of course, we just want to introduce it to literally anyone, but we all know that getting involved with the schools is huge. So I do want to bring up a few other quick points to that, which is as of right now, I'm going to apply a little more pressure on them. As of right now, we also think that Latitude 64 is the front runner in wanting to be a title sponsor. They didn't know about this entire development coming into
title
it.
Title sponsor of the upcoming Samui Swine event.
Title sponsor of the upcoming Samui Swine that's to take place in the early part of February. So that is being worked on, where they too have talked about making a significant donation that would go right to the schools in terms of getting discs to them. It's funny how much you and I have a hard time relating to it. Money isn't money's always great, but money isn't what we need. We need baskets. We need discs. We need bags. We need the physical items there. And due to some tariffs and some other challenges, getting discs onto the island can actually be a little bit of a hurdle because there's some crazy taxing challenges. but getting actual discs onto the island and making them available is a legitimate obstacle that we're all working to overcome. So it's awesome. I'm just honored, you know, and I know I feel like, yes, it was a significant amount of money, but I'd look at it truly as an investment into that region, that area, and growing, continuing to grow the sport, and then discover some of these new players and invite the rest of the world to Samui to see what disc golf is all about. I think it's just an experience you'll never forget. There's a reason you hear me going on and on and on for hours and hours about it. And you see Philo going back a handful of times. You've seen Nico and Sarah Holcomb and Paige Pierce and Weston Isaacs and Nate Perkins and James Conrad, Devin Owens, Kohling, Wysocki, all those people have been there. And then the likes of Simon and others that all say, yeah, I want to get there. Matteo trying to find a way to get there. It is this insane experience, and it's the disc golf, but it's so much culture, and it's such an incredible just all-around package. And the last point on that is, because of the relationship with the house and the land and the property and the rental and all this other stuff, there already is, and there will continue to be a rental unit right there on site, so you can literally be right at the course, 100 feet or 30 some meters from T1, and you can be renting out that particular place as an Airbnb at a very reasonable rate. You can be renting that out during throughout different parts of the year and stay right there on site as well. So that will also be an option among the million other very cost efficient options. But if you want to really have the experience to say you're staying at the disc golf course where you can just open up the window and see half the holes on the course and experience Samui. It's Scott Stokely. Sorry. Shasta Chris this last year. If you need any more stories from Scott Stokely, you know that he's always going to give you one. It's absolutely incredible. So I think that's everything on that. I appreciate the question there. Mike says, yes, Stokely documented how a $20 disc is still $20 over there, which is about half the week's wages locally besides any tariffs. Yeah, the disc, that or maybe just a little below that. So it is a challenge to get stuff onto the island in terms of the disc. Unfortunately, because it's expensive specifically to locals, that aren't affluent with bot, it does feel like it can be expensive, and you can't just call up a manufacturer and be like, hey, it's going to be really expensive when it gets there. You know, can you give us a discount? I mean, it still costs them the same to make it, but that's why we're looking for, you know, basic level plastic. And then when it comes to the kids and some of the groups to introduce it to, we're looking for used or X outs or whatever that can just be given away, that people are happily saying, hey, I no longer need those. Let's just give those away.
And so, Luke comes on and says that $20 a day is not a week's wage. It's more like a good day's wage, but that's still relatively expensive for someone to pay an entire day's wage for a disc. So like you said, if you can help
offset some of those get discs into locals' hands and whatnot, it's, pretty
stay amazing. Tuned. I'm sure Terry will have more coming from all of this.
Yeah, there you have it. So we will come up with some kind of, I'll show them off again. Here's a couple of the discs that just immediately got made up. And we're going to be working with a number of manufacturers. But we're going to come up with some options. If you want to be a friend or a supporter and you want to get a disc and a sticker and a mini or something like that, I'm going to have some options available on my website where you can continue to support it. And we're going to have options to become basically a year-long sponsor by having your wrap on a basket or having a flag or a flanner at the course that would be on display essentially year-round for everyone to see, not just for the tournament. Those are all going to be options as well. So thank you, and let's see where this thing can go from here.
Well, if you want to win one of those discs, you go to patreon.com/smashboxtv. Let's give away that disc right now, Terry.
Let's do it.
We have 133 people eligible for our giveaway tonight. We're going to give away your choice of one of those discs. And
yes,
we'll reach out. Terry will reach out to you and probably get a better idea of what it is. So, Terry,
I'll send you pictures of the four discs. You tell me which one you prefer, and that's the one that I'll send out to you.
What should we draw? 133. What number should we
pick? I've been to Thailand three times.
All right, we'll do it the third one.
Third number drawn
not
is who 19, will have the choice.
Not 94, but our third and final number is 51. I sorted them by email address tonight. So if I go to 51, I scroll down just a little bit. That's going to be Jeff Hungerford.
Unbelievable. Very nice.
Jeff Hungerford. Congratulations, Jeff. Good friend of our show. And PDGA.
Yes. And Jeff, I believe, is he still
on the PDGA?
Possibly on the PDGA board. I don't know. I don't think there's any conflict of interest. Jeff notched his 100th PDGA win.
At the Samui?
At the Samui Swine.
I thought I remembered something like
How damn fitting. That's incredible. Thank you, Jeff, right near Gordon and in between Gordon and Tyler in terms of the names there. So, Jeff, awesome. I'll give you your options and then get something sent out to you. Jeff did reply at one point and said, I may even try to get back there this year in hearing the news today. So
that's pretty cool.
Somehow it seems beautifully fitting that Jeff takes it down. So thank you to Jeff Hungerford. PDGA 688?
I don't know. It's not my thing. That's your thing. You remember PDGA numbers, not me, Terry.
Yes, I'm right. PDGA 688, Jeff Hungerford. Damn, that was a good pull, Miller. Thank you. I'll pat myself on the back for that. Anyway, all right. Luke also chiming in. Yeah, a two-bedroom right there on site for just $40 a night. I don't know how you can really complain about that. And then play some disc golf? Sounds perfect. Just a few minutes from the ocean. Golf?
Well, it sounds like it's a few minutes from the ocean in almost any direction.
It really is. And I've said this before. If you're not making the most and you're not putting a few hundred kilometers on your moped / scooter for the week, you also are not doing Thailand right. So bring a pair of glasses, protective glasses, and you'll get a helmet when you get there. And then get on a scooter, which will cost you $6 a day, and ride till you can't ride any longer. Because if you're not disc golfing, you should be out there on a scooter somewhere. That's worth the trip alone. I've said that for a few years. And somehow I haven't wiped out. You'd be impressed.
Not there. You have wiped out on scooters, but not particularly there. Not yet, Terry. You're still a young man.
Yes. Who can definitely wipe out. Spry young age of 45-ish.
So... do we have anything else, Terry?
I was just going to quickly say, and not to entirely, ultimately fully belabor the entire conversation, but when I did put the teaser out there yesterday, I got to say thank you to some of the creative. Mm. When I said I've got kind of this big announcement. What the big news was. There was, I'm flattered that a number of you said Euro Tour announcer. Or being part of the Euro Tour in a more larger capacity from a commentary side.
That was my guess because my wife asked me. She's like, she's like, I saw Terry made a post. She's like, what? He's like, what's his deal? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know because I forgot to ask him about it last week after the show, and I just haven't spoken much with him. And I said he talked about more international travel. I said so there's a chance that it's something to do with the. With the Disc Golf Euro Tour, the new unified European tour. Mm-hmm. I said he could be the American announcer for that, and maybe he's going overseas for that for an extra couple weeks. I said that would be my first bet. I said, but other than that, maybe he's going to be talking about a new tour in Europe, because I know he's friends with the Croatian people that do a lot of the Croatia Disc Golf. I said that's always a possibility.
Yeah, a couple others running for the PDGA board. I keep thinking that'll happen someday, but that's not on the top of my list right now. Maybe I'll do that. Greg, who goes to Samui every year and has already booked his tickets, said moving to Thailand for 4 weeks this upcoming winter. He had no idea it was coming. And you're close. I'll be there for about 3 weeks between Malaysia and Samui. So we'll see you there, Greg. Curling, Olympic curling. Nope, not quite. A lot of commentator questions, people asking if I was going to be then moving maybe to somewhere else in the country. Not the case. Out to Bend, Oregon, for instance. Not the case. Disc Golf Masters Tour is going to get some live coverage. That was a solid
guess. That's a solid guess.
At the time, that was very solid there, Tom McManus. I'm not sure where that stands in terms of what coverage, but I'm guessing you're going to see more of it for sure there. Retiring, I don't know what retiring would ever even look like. Jessica Weiss's mother said crypto deal.
Crypto deal. that's the last thing.
That will not be for me. Covering more European events. Taking a role with House of Dis. Somebody said that. Somebody said ABC Sports, and someone also said a full-time employee at Innova. Those were all thrown out there. A merger with more disc golf media. I said I said they're too nice for me. They got too many good things going on. So, yeah, some of those, like I said, some were truly funny, and a few of them were quite flattering. I'm going to go to the Lone Star Ranger team, which was a topic of conversation recently, possibly get sponsored. A lot of people thought I might actually go out and play. That definitely would not be helping anyone in any capacity. So, yeah. Somebody said you officially committing to never again riding a two-wheel self-propelled vehicle.
That's incorrect, because you're going to be riding a lot of one in Thailand.
That's exactly what I told him. So, yes, thank you so much to all the great suggestions. And it actually, a few of you gave me some ideas. Like, oh, I wonder if I could do that maybe someday. So I certainly appreciate it. Nate Heinold's mom asked if I'm going to move into her hometown. I said, Nate, sweetie pie. As she calls him, might not like that.
Probably not.
So no, I won't. I won't be there. But nonetheless, thank you guys. Congratulations. I'm gonna switch gears real abruptly.
Okay.
Congrats, Paul Uliberry and Sarah Wysocki, married on Sunday.
Merging of the houses. It's like a Game of Thrones thing. You've got the Wysockis and the Ulibarries, both powerhouses in the disc golf community.
Ricky Wysocki, let me repeat that. Ricky Wysocki,
his sister, Sarah Wysocki,
has married Paul Uliberry. So brother of Pete Uliberry.
Yes.
The famous Pete.
The famous Pete Uliberry.
Who we mentioned just last week on the show.
I'm just saying, you know.
And I'm looking forward to seeing, hopefully, this weekend. But yes, Ricky and Paul, that makes them brother-in-laws.
It does.
So, congratulations. Again, they were married on Sunday.
I'm kind of surprised Ricky let that schlub in the family, you know? It's like, how many majors do you have? Oh, sorry, Sarah. We're shooting for at least one. So, here are your options. You can marry Isaac Robinson. You can marry Gannon Burr. Not Paul Ulibarri.
Ouch. Well, nonetheless.
Are those the only two unmarried major winners?
Oh, geez.
Has it just hit me?
I mean, Philo's not technically married yet, and did win a Masters major this year. We're stretching on a few accounts there, but unmarried major winners? Yeah, I guess I'd have to go through the list. Sarah Holcomb's not married.
True.
I
was thinking MPO, particularly for this instance, but
Katrina Allen is not married. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I guess that could be a funny list to then possibly go through.
Sam Mando, where are you on this?
Yeah, shit, where's that stat? Speaking of stats, I believe Schwebe picked up another win, as Wade has just referenced on the board. Schwebe got another win this weekend, $4,000,009, I think is the number, so congrats to him. And then Wade, I will follow up. Yes, Wade had some surgery that he has announced to the world, and we wish you nothing but the best recovery and hope
definitely
you're doing
Wade.
Well. Also asking me the other day, when are we going to see some post-production coverage coming out? You guys know, now's the time to shine. Now that I've bought this island of disc golf, now's the time to get some post-production.
Buying his own private island.
The Las Vegas Challenge is fully edited. Now I just need to put down the commentary. I got that entirely edited, all three rounds of that. This weekend, I'm heading to the Phoenix Ladies Open. So going to give you probably one round of first round highlights, spreading the love around to a bunch of divisions. And then second round will be exclusively lead card FPO. That's going to happen. We got Chain Hawk coming up. And then I think I've got one or two other older events in the can that also can get released, some more local stuff and so on. So
okay.
Post-production world.
Starting to ramp up.
My channel is now about to ramp up. Now that everyone else is taking it easy, now I'm going to try and deliver for a little while for you guys. So Big Smashbox hug to you out there, my friend, and I hope you're doing well.
What else, Terry? What else is going on with your life?
Ah, with my life?
You bought you just bought an island? What else?
Yes. I mean, running the tournament at the end of the month is super exciting. Again, it's near sold out, and just stressors of any kind, certainly.
Normal tournament stressors.
Yeah, they limit, though, once you're, like, officially sold out and everything's good to go.
You're saying Terry Miller sold out, huh?
Yeah. Working on some branding, quite honestly. I know I referenced it in the regular show. Smashbox now finally has some nice, sweet die-cut stickers.
Those are nice. I'm going to have to get a few of them.
And it's funny.
Put one on my laptop.
The work that goes into, not from me, and a big shout-out to Jeremy Herr for helping out here.
And that this particular style, I wore that shirt to USCGC. I was walking around with it. I had more people stop me and be like, whoa, I love that shirt. Where can I get one? And I was like, I don't have any. Those were Patreon exclusive shirts.
Yeah.
So we might have to bring that one out next year for a renewal and offer that up. Maybe I'll talk to Miles about that, because that's where I got that from.
Yeah. So doing that, doing some Samui branding, doing Disc Golf Guy merch branding, doing stuff for the Cold Turkey. All of those things have been kind of what's also been keeping me pretty busy. And as I said, big shout out to Jeremy, who helped with some graphic stuff. Benjamin, my buddy, helping with some graphic stuff recently as well. So thank you to you guys. Like I said, Chainhawk comes right after that in terms of right after the Thanksgiving event. And I think I might do a flex start of some kind, right around when's the 31st? Isn't that like a...
Like the 31st
December,
of December?
31st, like a chaining in the new year. The 31st is a Sunday. So doing a Sunday flex start of some kind is probably going to happen.
Could happen.
So those are some exciting things. And then, of course...
Hey, Miles, shout out on the board. Good to see you. Oh, glad you're tuning in.
There's Miles. Love you,
buddy. One of our favorites.
Is he? Yeah.
He is. Well, yeah. I don't know about you. He's one of my favorites.
I mean, I did talk to him on the way here, so
he's... I don't talk to him nearly as much as I wish I did. Because him and I, if we were to talk, it'd probably be music talk. Him and I have very similar music tastes. He was in a band many years ago that opened for one of my favorite bands, so it's pretty fun. And I never knew that.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
One of my favorite bands is The Jealous Sound. And my understanding is his band opened for them many years ago.
Hmm.
Which I never knew. So,
dang.
Come see us play next weekend.
If you think you're such a big fan of him, go down there and see him play next weekend.
I didn't say I was a fan of his band. Just kidding. I'm sure I would be, Miles. But no. Cool. Cool stuff.
One other thing that I touched on. Completely on a side personal level was my daughter wrapping up her volleyball this last weekend, me going to the volleyball banquet to watch all the various teams go through their individual awards.
I went to a volleyball banquet as well.
All that other stuff. And now my daughter is possibly looking into the idea of some tryouts for other clubs or other whatever in terms of volleyball. So that just starts over on a whole new level. And I think I may have touched on it in the last couple of weeks. Yes, my oldest daughter, Allison, has turned 15. So now she is completing a lot of the online lessons that are required so that then she could go in and get her temps. And then just like that, she'll be able to just start driving around. So that's all in my kind of like my back pocket world.
Trying to convince my son, I was trying to convince him to either join club volleyball or the swim team, as well as he's really interested in doing what he is in the robotics club. Hands down. In fact, he was just picked for, he's a freshman. He was picked for what they call the lean team, which is like these smaller teams that do very specific portions of each project build. And he is on the 3D development side. So he's doing like the drafting and stuff like that. He's taken a very good natural knack to that stuff. And I kept asking him like, Fear's great. It's the name of the team is the Fear Team, F-E-A-R. I forget what it stands for, but it's great. But I keep thinking, I'm like, I'd like you to be more active as well. I'm like, well, maybe you can join swim. And he's like, nope, it's happening mostly at the same time. He's like, I'd have to miss fear classes or fear club. I was like, all right, well, maybe you can do club volleyball and be more casual. He's like, nope. And club volleyball, my understanding, in the Milwaukee area is very difficult to get on. Like, you have to be a very, very solid player to get on some of the better club teams. Not that he couldn't be on one of the lower level teams, but he had no interest in that either. So now I think I'm going to force him to do a...
yard raking. 24 hours a day.
Well, yeah, my yard needs it right now. But three times a week they do a fitness after school, like a kind of physical working out, more or less. And so some of his buddies that are on the volleyball team are going to be doing that. And he would only be able to do it 2 days a week because of the robotics. But I'm going to force him to do that instead. So it's a never-ending fight.
We need to find out that if FEAR, the acronym, doesn't start with the F word, then I'm going to be disappointed for his high school robotics club. That F better be the F word. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I think that was largely it for what I saw in the news. We're now getting to a point. I'm on the fringe of caring. We're clearly getting to a point where it feels like some podcasts are getting punchy with other podcasts.
What?
And if we've ever done that, it's always been in jest, like completely. Like when we've used to rip on the Answer Man or the Nick and Matt show. There's like
the Nick never, and who.
Exactly. There's never been any thread of sincerity under any of those kind of comments, but it feels like maybe if I understand it again, I've got enough of my own drama to like then go seek out some of the other podcast drama, but it feels like there's some of that has maybe bubbled and or is becoming a conversation piece. Good for them is what I can say to that. I'm going to do my best to not worry about it or concern myself. I just hear on the fringe that it's happening. It's kind of always like we see and hear the news and the disc golf news, and you may get it from Reddit and Discord. I may see it on Instagram or Facebook, maybe YouTube or whatever. And at a certain point, it's like, I don't need to go search for more. And if it's not there right in front of my face, I'm not going to worry. Even when it is, sometimes I don't worry about it, but that's what I've gathered, at least from the fringe.
I mean, you can, if you want to drum up a little bit of drama and maybe a little bit of interest, you always go against somebody else. That's how it always works. That's the nature of it, which is maybe why our podcast has never exploded in popularity. We've never done that type of stuff. We've never purposefully, in general, like called out another podcast in for real.
Yeah, you know, in a serious capacity.
In a serious capacity.
Or but intentionally like led with a hot take. Now, there's clearly takes we've had that people will disagree with, and I'm not suggesting everybody should be agreeing with everybody, but that's not necessarily been, like I said, our nature of like, here's the hottest take in the world, and I'm looking to incite a massive response.
9 times out of 10, the quote-unquote hot takes that people have, they don't even really believe. Because if they're that hot, the odds are in your head you're thinking like, like that's probably not true, or I probably don't really believe that. Like, to me, that's how most hot takes tend to be, so we've just never been that type of channel. We've never been that type of podcast.
Kind of sidetracking back to podcast live stuff. Why doesn't my internet work all the time?
At home?
Yeah.
I don't know, Terry. You are hardwired in.
Not all the time.
Okay.
But I have been. I have been, and I feel like it's still struggled there.
Step one, hardwire. Step two, get good internet.
I've got good internet.
Get good, G-I-T-G-U-D, get good.
Get good.
Get good. You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have that talk later. We'll continue that. Miles does bring up a good point. He's suggesting that we call out Hannah McBeth and and her podcast. I would just want
to know. The Party Podcast?
Yeah, is that still going on? Or is she taking a break because she's having a kid? I don't really know.
It is still going on. They just had an episode. It's a part one of two with Nick and Matt. It's a little crossover episode. So I've not seen part two, I believe. I listened to some of part one, but I'm not going to lie. And Hannah knows I'm a big fan of the Party Podcast. I only got through about half this episode before I just kind of wrote it off, just because it's more or less a summary of the year. It is talking more about what had happened and Nick and Matt's take on what had happened, of which it wasn't my cup of tea particularly. I just didn't need
like a cup of Party.
Not my cup of Party. Yeah. But in general, I like the Party Podcast, and it is still going, even though Christine Jennings has been overseas for the last couple of weeks.
And that was kind of my point is, obviously, with and Christine traveling and Hannah having a kid.
No, Paul should be taking care of that kid now. Hannah carried it for 9 months. It's Paul's turn.
Exactly.
9 months, Paul.
That's how that works. I didn't get a plug in here, but we'll probably be talking about the conclusion of it come next week. So, yeah, the Phoenix Ladies Open, the 17th annual Phoenix Ladies Open, presented by the law offices of Paul J. Sacco, taking place this weekend. I'm excited to go out there come Thursday, Friday, and partake in the filming of it. There's 126 competitors registered for this weekend. So
ooh, dog.
We talk about it all the time. How do you get more women? How do you introduce your wife, girlfriend, fiance, side piece, whatever? How do you get them in? How do you get them involved?
Can I bring my wife and my side piece as a doubles
as
partner?
As long as they play in different divisions. I'd keep them in different divisions.
Oh.
Just to be safe.
What two?
Anyway,
it would have to be like pro and am. I would hope. I don't want like masters and juniors. That's weird,
you
Terry.
Should be dating a junior.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you can't do that.
Juniors only play one round here. I don't want you dating one, but they do only play one round, and then they're done. So that maybe could help alleviate some interaction. But
this conversation took a very awkward turn.
Well, there are 19-year-olds.
Yes, anyway. That's exactly.
Aside from all that, but no, if you do want to know how to introduce women to a competitive format that maybe is a little bit more inviting, this event spoils the heck out of the women, and it's awesome. They have done such an incredible job throughout the years. I've seen a number of different TDs all passing the torch and helping the next TD. It's been incredible. I am honored to be out there and have a part of this event, but that's taking place. There's currently 126 women registered for the event. And if I do a real quick look, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I think I just counted about 16 different divisions represented in all of those players. So absolutely awesome to see. And I am excited to be out there for this weekend. So I wanted to throw that in there. This is an event I've supported in being not only just doing the filming of it, but then also helping amplify it wherever I can. And that's to be said of all the women's exclusive tournaments. And this one is no different. So looking forward to seeing you guys all out there this upcoming weekend. All right. I swear, Terry, you would play a non-sanctioned event over a six-tier. I think that's some talk relative to some of the other drama.
Yeah, the tour life stuff.
There is a course in our area. This is also, whatever. There's a course in our area that I'm apparently going to get a chance to go play that's currently listed as a private course. Mm. And I'll report back to you on how that's going to go.
Well, thanks.
Speaking of our area, where I'm going to also side note to this, lots of conversation about the Watt brothers playing disc golf. We saw it on social media.
I forgot to comment on that and beg for attention.
Yeah, so I'm just saying the coolest tie for us specifically
is that the Watts grew up in the city you live in.
Yes.
Literally, Pewaukee. Not to dox you, but
yeah,
you live
exactly.
in Pewaukee.
And it's not very many people. went to the same high school, I believe, as my daughter. or my two children go to. Whether that's going to get me any closer to playing with them, we know a few other NFL players that already play, so on and so forth. Maybe there'll be a time I get to get out and play with them. But
so I saw someone online.
It's a timestamp. It's kind of cool.
Post it like, this is huge for the sport. And I'm like, and I didn't post anything because I kept myself. And I thought, no, it's not. It's nothing. It's literally a big nothing burger. It's two guys who happen to be relatively big in a sport out enjoying themselves. It's not going to go anywhere. There's not going to be anything. Odds are there's a good chance that he never posts about disc golf again.
Would you change your mind at all if next year he had the Watt Brothers Disc Golf Invitational?
Yes.
And $100,000 was donated?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Then what you're saying, just him,
just this in general,
that he played.
This make a, him making a post that he's playing. Now, my thought was, and I don't know what the full status of the future is for the we've seen a celebrity pro-am in the past where we saw.
I've got some tea on that I can't spill.
I know you do, and I have to a little bit too. I kind of know a little bit, but I'm going to pretend like I don't. I don't know what's going on with the celebrity pro-am event. But we have seen a Packer player in the past play. Ben Askren, who lives out in Delafield.
Whoa.
Doxing.
Don't throw the D word around.
Which is near Pewaukee.
Ah!
You would think that if someone could get a hold of like a JJ or a TJ Watt, if they were interested in playing, for instance, it would be Ben Askren to reach out and be like, hey, if you're interested in playing, if you're more than just like, I'm going to go out for a casual round with my bro, if you're interested, that would be the place to get him in. And I don't even know how big that would be in general. But there are, and now that I don't see, maybe I would say TJ playing would be a stretch just because he's still in the NFL and in the NFL and so busy. JJ Watt is now retired and is invested in soccer team and has a commentating gig, I think, on CBS. But so if something like that were to evolve, that's a little different. But I don't think that in the past, the celebrity pro-am has been people who have been a little more serious about disc golf. Celebrities who take the sport a little more seriously than just, hey, we're going to go casually and play.
Sure.
So,
yeah, that's a good question. Who knows?
Something like that could happen.
If they, quote unquote, get bit by the disc golf bug the way a lot of others do,
sure,
that could be one early round that turns into just one of 30 he plays in the next, 60 days. And the next thing you know, and clearly when you're of that status, everyone's ready to jump on you and help you out and
provide discs.
Yeah, exactly. Discs and a little bit of instruction and so on and so forth. So I guess we'll see how it all unfolds. Anyway, is it cool? Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy that other people are playing this
sport.
And
then a little bit of a coinkydink that they, were born in the same city that I currently live in, which happens to be a suburb of the Milwaukee area. That's my slightly personal tie to it, but that's about it. Wade says, Chef Andrew Zimmerman out there actually throwing was cool. Yeah, and Chef's been playing for 25 or 30 years.
Yeah, he's a long time player.
He's been playing for a long time. And we've seen, obviously
Dylan Cease.
Yeah, Cease and, Chase has been playing, I think, a little bit more. Casey DeSmith of the Penguins plays all the time and is really good.
Yeah, he's really good
as well. So, yeah, some of those guys take it a little bit more seriously than others.
If we do get another celebrity pro-am, we have to invite Jeremy London, the actor who posts all the time on Twitter about disc golf, is really into it. Him and Emac go back and forth all the time. He's the actor from the movie Mallrats and other movies, but that's probably his most famous movie. He's heavy into the sport these days, and I think it would be a shame not to put that invitation out to someone like him to come and play. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I don't see any celebrity posting disc golf stuff as much as him. Even someone like Dylan Cease, who is invested in the sport literally now, isn't posting as much as like Jeremy London is. So, you got to look what you got to look for. And I think it's something he would probably get into and enjoy.
Okay. I like it.
Maybe another weekend I'll go off on my rant about how I saw people saying, when real athletes get into our sport, they'll be able to throw far. Mm. It'll knock all of our top pros off, is what I was hearing. Like if JJ Watt could just learn how to throw, he'd be throwing 600 feet in weeks, because you know he's a real athlete as opposed to what our guys are now. But another week, I'll go off on that rant that
sure.
I think people are idiots.
Okay. I don't know that I have a lot more, unless the board has anything else that we're going to close the shop here in a moment. If the board doesn't come up with something else that they need us to further divulge or talk about, if that's not the case, then it sounds like we could be wrapping up our after show. Sounds like we had a little bit of everything tonight. So thank you guys. Thank you again personally. There's so much love and support. I got a lot of individual messages. For people that were happy. I had a number of messages from people literally from around the world that have been to Samui that are also excited that we're keeping things moving forward. And that means even more because they've been there, they've experienced it, and they know how special it is to all of us. And I literally got messages from China, from Australia, from New Zealand, another part of Australia, just all over the world today. And so thank you guys. And we're going to do our best to keep things moving forward in a good way. Thank you, Wade, for that. We appreciate it. All right, folks, that is it. This has been Smashbox TV's podcast 479's after show. Thank you to Danny Voss who joined us in the regular show. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and anyone that just tunes in and week out, whether you're watching live on the YouTubes or you've downloaded it and you're consuming it there. Please give it a 5-star review on whatever your podcast app is, and we appreciate all the love and support. We'll see you next week for episode 480. You step inside the Smashbox.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.